I'm Sabrina Garone.
I drive a 2012 Kia Soul. She's definitely a female. She has that energy. She's very pretty on the inside. I get very excited when I see other Kia Souls on the road and I go, oh, there's a Soul Sister in green, a Soul Sister in brown. The Souls are taking over.
Your car can have a wild adventure by turning it into your favorite programs. Go to WSHU.org to learn more.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. The gap between pro-Trump and pro-Harris TV ads has narrowed within the past couple of weeks. Police confiscated 62 fake IDs on Long Island in an annual crackdown on drunk driving. Transit advocates await a plan from Governor Hochul on congestion pricing. And today is Indigenous Peoples Day. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The gap between pro-Trump and pro-Harris TV ads has narrowed in the past couple of weeks. That's the finding of the latest report by the Wesleyan Media Project, WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
According to the report, about 71,000 pro-Harris ads and 51,000 pro-Trump ads have run on broadcast television since the 23rd of September. Michael France is the co-director of the Wesleyan Media Project.
Even though in total, in that two-week period, Harris is spending quite a bit, we're wondering if Trump is beginning to engage a bit more with TV ads and how that will play out in the next couple of weeks.
He says Trump still lags far behind Harris with online ads, particularly on Facebook.
Maybe some of that non-spending is a sort of rejection of Facebook as a platform for him. But Harris has spent a ton of money on Facebook and is really just clobbering him on that one.
France says in the U.S. Senate races, ad buys are also breaking records, with Democrats out-airing Republicans in 7 of the top 10 races. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Police confiscated 62 fake IDs on Long Island in their annual crackdown on drinking and driving. WSHU's Desiree Diorio reports the numbers are on the decline.
Every summer, the New York State DMV teams up with local law enforcement and the state liquor authority to stop underage people from using fake IDs to buy alcohol at concert venues. They issued 60 citations on Long Island. Statewide, they seized almost 350 fake IDs and issued more than 300 citations. Those numbers are trending down from prior years, according to the DMV. More than 550 people got caught in 2022. DMV Commissioner Mark Schroeder said summer concerts should be enjoyed without putting health and safety at risk. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
Parts of Connecticut are in abnormally dry conditions, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Patrick Scahill has more.
It's the lowest of the Drought Monitor's 5 categories, but federal officials are still calling attention to what they say are abnormally dry conditions. The alert, which warns parts of the state could be headed into a drought, spans much of northwest and eastern Connecticut. Central and most of southwest Connecticut are not under the advisory. The Drought Monitor says abnormally dry conditions can elevate wildfire concerns. September was relatively dry in northern Connecticut, and this month has been the same, although there was some rain over the weekend. The agency is expected to update the state's drought status on Thursday. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Patrick Scahill.
Coming up, a conversation with a Mohegan tribal historian about the significance of Indigenous Peoples Day. That and more is ahead.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group, HartfordHealthcare.org.
transit advocates, elected officials, and budget writers are eagerly awaiting more information about New York Governor Kathy Hochul's vision for congestion pricing. Hochul paused the plan before it was slated to go into effect in June, saying a $15 toll on drivers entering New York City below 60th Street would have been a burden on commuters. State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli says without it, the MTA faces a multi-billion dollar revenue shortfall.
The challenge is really for the legislature and the governor to deal with this. And if they do not, you really run the risk of the system going back into a state of poor repair. Already, we do not have everybody back using the trains and the subways and the buses as based on pre-pandemic.
DiNapoli says repairs to stations and replacement of old train cars are hanging in the balance. Hochul has said a replacement proposal could be announced before the end of the year. A memorial service was held in Bristol, Connecticut over the weekend for two police officers who were killed in the line of duty 2 years ago. Lieutenant Dustin DeMonte and Sergeant Alex Hamsey were ambushed as they responded to a false report of a disturbance at a residence. New Haven's police union has approved a 6-year contract with the city. It gives officers a 25% raise over the next 6 years and raises the starting salary to $70,000. Mayor Justin Elliker says it'll help the city retain and recruit more police officers. Suffolk County is hosting its first ever Lego convention in Brentwood this weekend. There'll be visits and displays from professional Lego artists. Yes, there are professional Lego artists. And all the proceeds will go toward giving underprivileged kids access to the toys. Today is Indigenous Peoples Day. It was officially recognized as a federal holiday for the first time 4 years ago. It honors Native American people and culture. WSHU's Janice Roman spoke with Mohegan tribal historian Jason Levine about the significance of the day.
What is Indigenous Peoples Day, and why is it important to recognize it?
I think for me personally, it's a day of really reflection, I would say. I would call it more than a day of celebration. I would say it's a reflection of Native history, the impact of colonialism, and I would also say the survival of Native people and how we have managed, to survive really efforts to erase Native people. And often we still are invisible. In the modern world, we're often seen as relics of the past. So I think Indigenous Peoples Day for me is a day to reflect on that history.
Can you talk a little bit about what are some misconceptions that people have regarding Indigenous people that you think it's important to dispel? And then also, how can people learn more about Indigenous communities in their area?
I would say one of the major myths is that we have disappeared. We somehow are relegated to the past. We have not survived. I am currently the manager also of Tenequidgin Indian Museum, and we have a lot of school groups. And I'd say that's one of the ways that people can engage with Native communities today is by visiting tribal museums like the Tenequidgin Museum or Mashantucket Pequot Museum. And there they can see how Native people have survived over the past 300 years of contact, 400 years of whatever it's been now. But I think a lot of people still think of us as something relegated to the past, where we're not modern people, and that's, I think, one of the major misconceptions.
Now, you mentioned the sort of educational programs within the museum that members of the community can visit. What are some other ways that non-Indigenous people can support Indigenous communities?
I would say even just by education, just knowing that Native people exist and familiarizing themselves with some of the history. There's a lot of misconceptions out there. There's a lot of false history, I would say. Not that it's all necessarily needs to be good or bad. Just I think knowing the struggles of Native communities and that our communities still exist within, the larger United States and the role that we have played and continue to play in American history. I think Native American history is just as much of the part of American history as anything else, you know, to be perfectly honest. I think just through education, through engagement, through, like I said, going to museums, visiting tribes, I think is a great way to engage with Native people. Chief Harold Tanquidgeon used to say that it's hard to hate somebody you know a lot about. So I think that is kind of the key for all of us, is to kind of learn and understand each other a little bit.
And you can find more stories about the Indigenous communities in our region online at WSHU.org. For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, you can listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this one, it's all made possible with support from our listeners. So as always, thank you so much for listening and for sharing this podcast with your friends. And thank you to WSHU's Molly Ingram for being a fabulous fill-in host last week. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll speak to you tomorrow.